sin. But you have no right to call me a murderer. You have a right to kill me. You have a right to do that. But you have no right to judge me. It's impossible through words to describe what is necessary to those who do not know what horror means. Horror. Horror has a face. And you must make a friend of horror. Horror and moral terror are your friends. If they are not, then they are enemies to be feared. They are truly enemies. I remember when I was with Special Forces. Seems thousand centuries ago. We went into a camp to inoculate some children. We left the camp after we had inoculated the children for polio. And this old man came running after us and he was crying. He couldn't say. We went back there, and they had come and hacked off every inoculated arm. There they were in a pile of little arms. And I remember, I cried, I wept like some grandmother. I wanted to tear my teeth out. I didn't know what I wanted to do. And I want to remember it. I never want to forget it. I never want to forget. And then I realized, like I was shot with a diamond. A diamond bullet right through my forehead. And I thought, my God, the genius of that. The genius. The will to do that. Perfect, genuine, complete, crystalline, pure. And then I realized they were stronger than me because they could stand it. These were not monsters. These were men, trained cadres. These men who fought with their hearts, who have families, who have children, who are filled with love. But they have the strength to do that. If I had 10 divisions of those men, then our troubles here would be over very quickly. You have to have men who are moral, and at the same time were able to utilize their primordial instincts to kill without feeling, without passion, without judgment. Because it's judgment that defeats us.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Here is Terrible Tommy in the bunker right out here in the heat spell. Yeah. And it is the 22nd of June, 2017. And we're getting close to July and all that kind of rigmarole of 4th of July and all that stuff. I haven't felt like celebrating 4th of July for many years, to be perfectly honest, and I've got a million reasons for it. One is that I'm not sure at the time of the revolution whether it was a great idea to separate from England, to be perfectly honest, as far as white people are concerned. No sooner than the ink was dry on the Constitution, they put in treaty law into the Constitution, which abrogated the entire Constitution, especially on foreign policy. And then the same big bank and rich guys took the helm that had been involved before. So I don't see how we gained a hell of a lot at the time. Of course, by now, Britain has degraded itself to a multicultural, multiracial swamp. And so it's going down the tube fast, just like every other country that's been white. All I see now on the internet and in the news is, oh, how horrible it is we've become such a violent nation. They can't figure that out. They want to blame everything else but what really should be blamed, but shouldn't be blamed, actually. It's evolution. It's Mother Nature. As higher animals struggle and strife and killing and so forth is natural in any so-called society. Now, admittedly, the blacks, due to their nature, are doing it more, but I don't think it's serving their evolutionary struggle. But I do believe in all that struggle and violence are part of our evolutionary struggle of the white race. I believe that. Struggle in white society is a sign of health and good things. It's not bad. Without struggle, nothing happens, good or bad. And that kind of situation is the worst kind of situation. So if you think you're going to get rid of violence and struggle and strife, forget it. It's part of the higher animal habit. Mother Nature likes it. The ones that really don't like it are those in power, the very rich and powerful, because once they get the riches and get the power, they want things to be pretty calm so they can fleece the sheep. And if the sheep decide to jump the pen and go out on the free range, that's not good for the power elite. They want things to be calm so they can fleece the sheep. So that's a simple instruction on how that works. Of course, the United States government doesn't want riots in the streets over anything. They don't like that because that upsets their ability to make a money. Now, they feel they only they have the natural right to wage violence against whoever they decide, which depends on their desires at the time. And then they moan and groan about individuals and smaller groups committing violence, when the major violence is created by the system itself, because they have a license to commit violence and a license to kill. Why? Because they have the power to maintain it. You don't have a license to kill. So if you're going out and kill, then you're a real bad person, while they are called fathers of the country. Look at the Middle East. This government, military-industrial complex, has been guilty of killing millions in the Middle East. And they say, well, we have the authority. We have the power to do it. We can create regime change, and that's okay because we have the power. You can't do that. If you knock off one of these leaders yourself, you're an assassin. You're a bad boy. But if I, the president, send some thousand troops out there to behead the head of a country, well, that's good. That's patriotism. You're supporting your country. So that boils it down pretty closely that the rich and powerful want things the way they want it. And they don't want too much upheaval unless they create the upheaval. If you create the upheaval, then you're going to go to prison or be executed. You're a horrible person. I'm not going to talk about the blacks because they're on their own ball field. I'm talking about the whites. If you decide to go out here and make major change and use violence, you'll be hunted down and executed because you don't have a license from the rich and the powerful to commit violence or riots. But we all know you should be creating riots and upheaval, because when things get, the system gets stagnant and the rich and powerful control everything, sooner or later you're going to have a violent upheaval. I mean, that goes without saying. And the longer you wait, and the longer this big balloon keeps inflating, the bigger the violence and collapse is going to be when it happens. It's going to happen, just like an earthquake. They had a false alarm on a 6.5 earthquake went out here in California by some guy pressing the wrong button. But we all, everybody knows there's earthquakes all the time, and there's bound to be a major earthquake at any time in California or Oklahoma or even Indiana or any place in the country, because that's nature. And you don't control nature. Nature's going to do what it wants to do. So that's my suggestion to you, that rights doesn't mean anything. Rights are only privileges that the rich and powerful grant you in times of good behavior. If you don't behave right or well and in support of the system, off with your head. Yeah, it's simple. It's very simple. But one thing they can't escape. The rich and powerful can't escape. With all our armies and all our bombs, they can't escape nature. And Mother Nature decides what's going to happen. And believe me, it's going to happen. Sooner or later, big things happen. In the meantime, might is right is the only thing to understand. That's what runs the show. So if you don't have the might, you better get the might. If you don't have the power, you better get the power. Otherwise, you're subservient to people who do. I was listening to the radio last night, and they were talking about this election down in Georgia, I believe it was, where the Republicans beat the Democrats. And what the main reason they beat the Democrats is because they brought out Nancy Pelosi, and they evidently hate Nancy Pelosi in Georgia, or wherever the election was. And so they put billboards all over the place, you know, do you want Georgia to be like California, and Nancy Pelosi? Couldn't happen to a better old hag. Because as I put on Twitter this morning, in 1980, as the duly certified Democrat candidate for Congress, when I went to the Democrat convention, I believe it was in L.A., might have been San Francisco. Now here I was, certified by Marge Fong Yu, the Secretary of State, as legitimate and legal candidate, having won the primary. Who was there but Nancy Pelosi right at the door with cops to push me out of my rightful position? Now, everybody talks about rights. That's all bullshit. If you're stuck on this, I got my rights, you're a fool. You're a real fool if you believe in rights. Sometimes they'll let you have them as privileges, but not really as rights, because they can take them away anytime they want, because Nancy Pelosi that day used the power of the state and the cops, totally illegally, to push me out of the convention. So I think it's a good thing that the people of Georgia, or wherever that election was, I didn't write it down, intuitively knew she's a bitch, and she's a hag, and a very illegal person. Her and her husband control massive amounts of property and land and vineyards. They use massive numbers of illegal aliens out there in California on their properties. So anyhow, the fact that the Democrats let her get to such a high position is a mystery to me. I've told that story several times over the years, but I always like to remind people of it when they say, well, you got your constitutional rights. They can't take that away from you. Ha! Bullshit, I can take anything away from you I want. I can walk up to your front door and knock on the door and blow your brains out. Your rights are gone. No argument to it. Your rights are gone. Now I see they're still looking for Amelia Earhart. After all 80 years, the case is 80 years old, they're still running around the islands down there in the South Pacific looking for Amelia Earhart's bones. All I can say is the money they're spending looking for her bones is not going to change anything, and it's not needed, and that money could be spent many other more healthy ways. She was a great flyer, and she gave her life to what she believed in, and why don't we just leave it at that? You notice on all of these kind of stories, or an election or anything else, they have no problem coming up with tens of millions of dollars for these wild goose chases, or to support some asshole for Congress, like the guy that ran in Georgia. 50 million spent. And the same people cry about poor people and they don't have enough to eat. It's so phony, it's unbelievable. There's nobody phonier than people in power. Now they're going to send forensic dogs down there looking for Amelia Earhart's bones. I have a hard time understanding how a forensic dog could add much to the story, but evidently they believe they can. I think the Jews are probably trying to figure some story out that Amelia Earhart was scouting out new places to put concentration camps to put Jews in it. What do you think? Sounds like something they'd be looking for. So considering if the Germans would have won the war, she would have probably had mapped out great islands for concentration camps for all the Jews in the United States and so forth. What do you think about that?
Opportunities. A man's opportunities are never exhausted so long as other men, who are not his friends, possess millions of acres and thousands of tons of gold. The guarded treasure halls and ironclad temples of modern kings and presidents, high priests and millionaires, are positively the richest the world has ever known. Bulging are they with the vast hoards of silver and diamonds and gold. Here, then, is opportunity on a colossal scale. Here is the goal of the Caesars, Nebuchadnezzars, and Napoleons in the days that are coming. All is ready and prepared for them, even as in olden times. Caesar carried off the treasures of Egypt, Greece, Gaul, and Rome. Napoleon looted the money vaults of Venice, Vienna, Madrid, Berlin, and Moscow. London only escaped him. Nebuchadnezzar plundered the Temple of Zion, where the Jews kept all their deposits and drank his beer and wine out of Jehovah's pots of gold. Napoleon, Caesar, Nebuchadnezzar. They were three great men, were they not? And in this their greatness consisted. They seized their opportunities. All else is error. The natural world is a world of war. The natural man is a warrior. The natural law is tooth and claw. All else is error. A condition of combat everywhere exists. We are born into a perpetual conflict. It is our inheritance, even as it was the heritage of previous generations. This condition of combat may be disguised with the holy phrases of St. Francis, or the soft, deceitful doctrines of a Kropotkin or Tolstoy, but it cannot be eventually evaded by any human being, or any tribe of human beings. It is there, and it stays there, and each man, whether he will or not, has to reckon with it. It rules all things. It governs all things. It reigns over all things, and it decides all who imagine policemanized populations, internationally regulated tranquility, and state-organized industrialism so joyful, blessed, and divine. Sayings of Redbeard. Reprinted from Redbeard's Review, London, 1896. While statesmen are your shepherds, you shall not want for shearing. Men are oppressed in exact proportion to their helplessness. Thou shalt not steal. Thus it was said of old time, but I say unto ye, let nothing be stolen from you. Forms of government change, but the principle of government never changes. It is tax gathering. Quote, Christian civilization, unquote, that is to say, all life transvalued into terms of toil, of discipline, and of taxes. What are men but hungry wolves, a-prowling on the heath? If in a pack of wolves ye hunt, ye'd better sharp your teeth. You can talk of human brotherhood until you're black and blue. No law of heaven or earth or hell can ever make it true. If one man smites you on the cheek, don't turn the other soft and meek, but smash him back and lay him low. War for war and woe for woe. Everywhere it is the same, exactly the same. The gold is for him who can, for him who either plays the game victoriously or breaks it up victoriously. You must develop a rebellious heart towards everything that oppresses you or keeps you down. Now is your chance to bear you well. Defeat is better pay, and life is little else than hell when man is old and gray. Go to, develop your powers of resistance and aggression. Every man, in our opinion, should be a warrior. Each morning he should go out as a fighting man into a battlefield. Thus saith the evil teacher, the false one, quote, give unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. But I say unto you, keep your money. It has been written, thou shalt not kill. But I say unto you, be a warrior. Truth is not mighty, and it don't prevail. The Jews, by the grace of Jehovah, were commanded to steal, but I say unto you, be not stolen from. Oh, some must watch, and some must sleep, and some must perish slowly, and some must weep, and some must reap, till all things go to glory.
Heavy labor unfits a man for contention and strife. Hence it unfits him for success in life. It deadens his mind and his will, and takes all the surplus energy out of him. Poison lurks in pastor preachments. Satan works through golden rules. Hell is paved with law and justice. Christ were made to fetter fools. The tendency of modern science, politics, and religion is to reunite their force, as in the days of long ago, for the complete and perpetual mental, moral, and physical subjugation of mankind. The scientist becomes the priest, pope, moral inquisitor. Life is strife for every man, for every son of thunder. Then be a lion, not a lamb, and don't be trampled under. Christ is my redeemer, I heard men rave and shout. But where is their redemption? What is it all about? A painted idol on a tree, dripping tears and gore. A painted idol is to me, and it is nothing more. Dogmas, base and wicked gospels, treacherous logic, shallow learning, prophets false, insane immortals, and coward theories of discerning, carve a wooden image, daub it o'er with paint, and straightway it is a sacred thing, a goddess, savior, saint. The gates of hell, that is to say, the portals of the factory. The teachings of hell, that is to say, the daily newspapers. Life is combat, remember, and not a Sunday school. Do not take your rules of conduct from your foe or from your conqueror. Man's highest moral duty is to increase his own powers and evolve his own spirit. The religion of, quote, the eagle and the serpent is the religion of the plains of Troy. We do not found a new religion, we revive the true one. This is not said for long ears. The will to live is king of kings, and gold and iron is lord of things. They load the whole world with national and international and municipal debts, and then cry, glory, glory, hallelujah, the human race is free. If you want to think things out in a directed, natural way, keep your mind off of the ballot boxes and legislatures and Bibles. In the balance weighed and wanting, the evil reign of Christ is o'er. 2,000 years of hell condemn him, he shall crush our souls no more. Hew down the false idols that cumber the land. For strife and struggle man is born, but sheep and lambs are always shorn. Keep your eye steadfastly fixed on the substantial things. Pursue positive aims, take chances, run risks, and do not fear adventure. Things that seem sacred, sacred for centuries and accepted by everybody, these are the things, the very things, you must learn to suspect and inquire into. Take nothing for granted. There is no Jew Jehovah commanding things on high. There is no golden heaven to go to when you die. Nothing could be more treacherous and untruthful than the epistles of St. Paul. He is the embodiment of fallacy, the very pattern of supernormal deceit and cunning. All is false about him, his logic, his legends, his learning, his arguments, his morality. Even his personality is a pretense. In your own heart, in all the law, beware of Christ, that man of straw. The law of love, the law of justice, the law of brotherhood, the law of equality, the law of equal rates and taxes, the law of equal rights and privileges, all these high-sounding things are nothing more than dreams. They don't really exist. They are only shadows of the mind. There is nothing substantial in them. They are idols, strings of words, words, words on words. They never were truths, and they never can be. They are against the very nature of things. Field, factory, office, and mine, these are the miserable ways of life. Conflict is the divine way, the noble way, the way of the gods. Woe unto those who give up their lives to servitude. Verily I say unto you, they shall perish utterly. The curse of the gods is upon them and their seed for 1,000 generations. To bleat and pray and live like clods is not the way of men or gods. Search the scriptures, yea, verily, search the scriptures of the Jews, for in them you shall find eternal damnation. The overbearing domination of the state over the individual is the menace and danger of our times, and it means the same, in essentials, as the overbearing domination of the church over the individual in the Dark Ages. There is no blessed Savior, for two and two are four, and the gospel tale is fiction, 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 nothing more. I do not preach wisdom. Too much wisdom is an evil. And what is wisdom? There is altogether too much of the snake and fox in modern man, too little of the eagle and the lion. What men call virtue is really their submissiveness, their degeneracy, their damnation. The world groans and staggers under the awful load of its goodness, its morality, its justice, and so forth. Oh, that the Mighty One would break loose from the great captivity and deliver us from the frightful paradise. Live and love and take and give and laugh and fight and sigh, for it's all there is of life to live and all of death to die. If there is anything in you, make a stir while you live. Now you have a chance. It won't be long. Your days are numbered. Your end is nearer than you think. Soon the worms will eat you. Do you understand? The high pontiffs, thus they orate grandiloquently. Have a care for religion. Pay your just taxes and love your blessed Savior. But I say unto you, beware of the evil one. Now is your appointed time, this very hour and day, to love and laugh and feast and fight and live before your grey. What dragons foul would hold the hordes ever and ever but for the swords? The secret empire, the empire of debt. The whole world is in debt. National loans, like great monster millstones, are tied around the necks of all nations. The annual interest payments upon these vast international obligations is colossal. The tributes wrung by military conquerors from subjugated provinces in ancient or modern times is as nothing to it. There is not less than 500 million toiling men on this earth whose daily grind is garnished, as it were, by international usurers. Two-thirds of taxation and tariffs goes direct into the vaults of the moneylender. All property is taxed until it is, in many places, practically confiscated. All lands and mines and ships are taxed. Everything we eat and wear and drink is taxed. Taxation is, in fact, the systematic ravaging of all the earth. The very best of governments, like those of Australia, are little more than tax-collecting bureaus. Modern kings and kaisers and statesmen are no longer the leaders and representatives of nations and peoples, but rather subservient agents of international pawnbrokers. Behind every tax gatherer stands the hidden forces of the great money power, the owners of the debt. They have the world in pawn. Hence, the international usurers are the actual conquerors of all mankind. They are the rulers of the earth because they are its owners. Thus the black terror leaps upon us, it has us by the throat, and year by year its exactions become more merciless. It is the great all-devouring dragon of mythology brooding upon its hordes of stolen gold and feasting, not in metaphor, but in actual fact, upon the bodies and bones of obsequious and terrified populations. The great god Bud of India we call a wooden joss. But a painted wooden Jesus is our Savior on the cross. Ah, quote, the law of the prophets, unquote. By law, the liberties of men are overthrown. By law, every wickedness is legalized. By law, every bondage is made possible. By law, every tax, every tribute is enforced, and every iniquity upheld and emphasized. And all this is eminently wise and beautiful and altogether lovely. Thus say the prophets, the prophets, the prophets. But I say unto you, the law crucifies, the prophets lie. When the war is over, the world in bonds. I own the earth, I own the sea, I own the treasure hoards. In every land, in every clime, I am the Lord of Lords. I suction wealth from out the pores of mad laborious hordes, and reign behind a rampant wall of 50 million swords. Shylock. All hail the power of Israel's name, let nations prostrate fall. Bring out the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Statesmen mock and swindle, and judges work you woe. Laws are the snares of Satan, and Christ your mortal foe. The True Religion. If one man smite you on the cheek, don't turn the other soft and meek, but smash him back and lay him low, war for war and blow for blow. The False Religion. Unto him that smiteth thee on one cheek, offer also the other. Luke 6, verse 29. Idols. Some carve their idols out of stone. Monsters fierce and rude. Some hew them in the shape of beasts from solid blocks of wood. Some deck them out in gems of price with diadems and crowns. Some dust red ochre on their cheeks and give them skirts and gowns. Some paint them bold, strong, and free with grace in every line. Some make them evil things to see that bleed and weep and whine. But the idol gods of Christendom, their glory never fails. A Hebrew maid, a Hebrew babe, and a book of Hebrew tales. Thou flaming idol towering high, what art thou but an iron lie? Heart of stone and eyes of glass, feet of clay and womb of brass. False in theory, fact, and fame, a brazen monster crowned with flame. Rationalists in religion are numerous, but rationalists in politics are few. Nevertheless, salvation by politics is quite as much of an insanity and a dream as salvation by the watery blood of a circumcised Jew. When his faith is analyzed, the average rationalist is even more irrational than the wildest supernaturalist. What is politics but priestcraft in a new mask and cloak? Break loose from hell, break loose, I say, Christ's evil empire in ruins lay. Dreams of peace are all a lie. Peace comes forever when we die. Survival. The force that made the iron grow gives weakness no protection. It bids us battle down the foe. Its logic is selection. It shakes the nations in a sieve. Each one must meet a rival, and chooseth from the strong that live the strongest for survival. As in the long ago, a heathen hymn. Life is the gay adventure, hurrah, hurrah, and away. Leg for boot and saddle, and off to the high foray. Treasure untold lies waiting for lords of the iron game, and love and maidens aplenty for courage and strength to claim. Speed, speed to the raging city where men are tested and tried, and the bold are always winners, and the vanquished crucified. Where caverns of steel and concrete hold thousands of tons of gold, and the slaves of a false messiah are driven and shriven and sold. In the heart of the weird struggle, in the midst of the roar and din, right there is your fate and fortune, right there is the spot to win. Their wicked and bloody dragons heap high their golden hordes, and the thinker sits in terror and longs for Sigurd's sword. The city, I say, for battle, hurrah, hurrah, and away. Leg for boot and saddle, youth to the grand foray. Lay hands on the dragon treasure, and lay the dragon low. Gold hoards are his who takes them, as in the long ago. The Logic of the Blood. All men are equal here below, the great false prophets preach. But I declare a different law, a different gospel teach. Brown and tan and yellow men, black and white and red, no two alike in shape or look, or same in heart and head. All men are formed of different clay, they come from different seed, and some are warriors by descent, and some of servile breed. Olson, Chance, and Von Bulow, Levi, Sambo, Jones, and each one different in his brain, and different in his bones. Black and tan and yellow men, brown and white and red, know two the same before their birth, or same when they are dead. For breed is breed, as fate is fate, in man and beast and bud, a thousand Christs can never change the logic of the blood. The God of all our ways. The government, it shears us night and day. It taxes us and steals our wealth away. With bond and debt it loads us down by cunning craft and skill, and puts its bullets in the heart of those who cross its will. O government, the government in air and sea and earth, its slightest nod is law and God, its judge of life and death. So we must crouch to government with body, mind, and soul, and keep our tongues atween our teeth while it collects its toll. O government, the government, it eats up mine and thine, the beast of blood and seven horns, the dragon of the slime. To thee, O blessed government, we chant glad songs of praise, thou holy sacred juggernaut, Lord God of all our ways. The God of Evil. The teachings of Jesus are treacherous and immoral. If you follow them, they lead you to your own ruin, that is to say, to your self-surrender. They destroy within you the springs of sufficiency, hope, and power. They make you a victim, not a vanquisher. Consider these teachings as they are written. Turn them ever honestly in your own mind. Analyze them. Test them by your experience and surroundings. Remove the religion's mist in which they are embedded, and you will be astonished to find that there is no real truth or value in them whatsoever, that they are false in statement, false in meaning, and especially false in intention. There is nothing truthful in Jesus. He is an artificial priestly creation, an evil idol, the great false god, the deceiver of mankind, the father of illusion and the tearful propagandist of effeminacy, submissiveness, and blank despair. The holy gospels, therefore, are not holy, not sacred, not divine. They are the reverse of all that. They are wicked, alien, abhorrent, and lead men and nations to mortal degeneration, wreck, and overthrow. The light that comes from Jerusalem is a wrecker's beacon. It guides us not unto a safe harbor, but straight and direct upon the sharp rocks of annihilation. Odin's Song. I am the strife god. I am the peace destroyer. Struggle is my gospel. Spears my apostles. Over high mountains. Through green valleys. In and out of nations, night and day I journey. From the isles of yonder, across bleak icy oceans, high on storm steeds astride of cloud wheels, to all sons of women I bring high tidings, to the brave-born gladness, to dastards weeping. Unceasing I cry out, bold be and mighty, gold hoards are bulging, be best and strongest. East and west I wander, north and south I travel, I, the flame messiah, the joyful idol smasher, I, the freedom bringer, I, the Babel burner, I, the flaming angel, red in tooth and claw, I, the deed propounder, choosing one or millions, I, all the Christ defiant, Lord of ignis ardens. The negative life won't do. A man must have faith and courage even to be a pirate. He who does not believe in anything does not believe in himself, which is atheism of the worst kind. A religion is essential. Nobility of action is impossible without it. Faith is an integral part of all heroic and noble natures. What is religion but a man's, quote, way of thinking, unquote, his philosophical belief, his code of ethics and of action? Hence, when one religion dies out in a true man's heart, another immediately takes its place. He must believe something or else sit down to contemplate his navel and rot into nothingness, as the Buddhists teach. The negative life won't do. Remember that. The first principle of proprietorship. In the history of the nations, the sword at all times commands the plow, the hammer, and the spade. Everywhere the soil must be captured before it can be cultivated. In primitive times, this was obvious. Nobody gets an acre or builds a home without fighting for it. And upon land titles written in blood, the entire fabric of modern industrialism is founded. The sword is as its base in an economic as well as an historic sense. Hence, the sword, not labor, is the true creator of economic values. It has been said, quote, the laborer is entitled to the full fruits of his labor, unquote. And this is true, but only on condition that he is a warrior and can successfully defend his product against anyone and everyone who comes up against him. Whoever can successfully defend a thing against all the world is its natural and rightful owner. Proprietorship, therefore, depends upon fighting powers, not upon ethical considerations. It is in a man's ability to defend his life and home, that is to say, to hold his own. Justice is immaterial. From this principle, a thousand things evolve. It runs through all our activities. It is the permanent factor behind all laws and all economic and industrial organizations. The sword is the dominant principle. No man is free, no man can be free, who has not complete personal control over the material necessities of his own life. In the wars of great Caesar and grim Hannibal, in the times of Belshazzar, the pharaohs and all, in the days of Rienzi and Roland the Bold, the banners are waving for women and gold. Develop your combative nature. If men would become free and remain so, they must of necessity encourage and stimulate the combative and savage nature. They must not be too tame and peaceful. They must make themselves feared or be despised. They must become a living terror to all tyrants and foes, and especially to the modern mob politicians who would tax them out of their property, that is to say, their economic independence. Property, remember, is an integral part of freedom and manhood. They who have no property are at the mercy of those who have. Woe unto him who has nothing. Economic dependence is flaming hell. Equality of man, a lie. The unity of the human species is an illusion. There are many breeds of men, and each one of them different in origin and in material, different in body, mind, and soul. There is no uniformity in the birth or lives or blood or brains of men. Hence the equality of man, so loudly voiced by the messiahs and rabbis and rabble courtiers, the politicians, is the most absurd of all falsehoods. The higher man. The highest specimens of the human race are not those of a lamb-like disposition, but those in whom the soul of the lion predominates, in whom angry passions rage. They are not men who conform easily to rules, regulations, laws. The ideal man is ever a man of rebellious and ungovernable nature, he whom no law can reign over and no master terrify. The word obedience is not in his vocabulary. He looks with scorn upon the petty rules and petty idols of the petty millions. But knowing that he is in a dangerous minority, he thinks and acts and says nothing, not even to his friend. In him is the spirit of the lion. He prowls, he masters others, and is not mastered. Trust in yourself. Believe you're right. Let lions cease to prowl and fight. Let eagles clip their wings. Let men of might give up their right, the foolish poet sings. Let loads of gold and Caesars bold forever pass away. Enrich the slaves, enthrone the knaves, the base-born prophets say. But I maintain with hand and pen the other side of things, the bold man's right to rule and reign, the way of gods and kings. So capture crowns of wealth and power, if you've the strength and can, for strife is life's eternal dower, and nothing's under ban. Ye lions, wake and hunt and fight, ye eagles, spread your wings, ye men of might, believe you're right, for you indeed are kings. The Conquerors. I sing the song of the valiant, in the wars of the bond and free, who take the world as they find it, and marvel at men like we. With eyes in their heads to see with, brains in their skulls to think, and reckless of gods and devils, they're never the first to sink. They've scorned the laws and prophets since ever the world began, and laughed at the fearsome idols, messiahs, and books in man. Failure to seize subsistence is proof that you are unfit, and toil for a bare existence, that is the bottomless pit. Opportunities. A man's opportunities are never exhausted so long as other men, who are not his friends, possess millions of acres and thousands of tons of gold. The guarded treasure halls and ironclad temples of modern kings and presidents, high priests and millionaires are positively the richest the world has ever known. Bulging are they with vast hoards of silver and diamonds and gold. Here then is opportunity on a colossal scale. Here is the goal of the Caesars, Nebuchadnezzar, and Napoleons in the days that are coming. All is ready and prepared for them even as in olden times. Caesar carried off the treasures of Egypt, Greece, Gaul, and Rome. Napoleon looted the money vaults of Venice, Vienna, Madrid, Berlin, and Moscow. London only escaped him. Nebuchadnezzar plundered the Temple of Zion, where the Jews kept all their deposits, and drank his beer and wine out of Jehovah's pots of gold. Napoleon, Caesar, Nebuchadnezzar, these were three great men, were they not? And in this their greatness consisted. They seized their opportunities. The door of opportunity is put up to keep out bad and weak people. When good men come along, they batter it down, tear it off its hinges, and pass on. Trust not empire nor republic. Trust not school or church or throne. Trust not anarch, priest, or statesman. Trust in yourself and dare alone. Undaunted live, undaunted perish, do and die, but make no moan. Be proud and bold, high valor cherish. Be thine own God, and think alone. Thinking over wrongs, however, does not right them. It is only by acts of resistance men may prevent themselves from being eaten up by the dragons of authority. Rejoice and alleluia, and bend the lowly knee. Glory, loud, and honor the God of Galilee. Some worship gods of wood and stone, and gods of clay and brass, and bulls and snakes, and rams and lambs, and she-gods too, alas. But the God we own, the wonderful, he doth them all surpass. An Asiatic yellow man, a Hebrew on an ass. The God who plunged the world in night. Hammer the weapons, and wield them well, sword and cannon, and bomb and shell. That image spiked upon a cross, that varnished idol hung so high. And do you think that God is there? Why then, methinks, you think a lie. The dead God. Christ is dead. Thor lives and reigns. The teachings of Christ are holy and practical. All reasonable men know this. But the teachings of Thor are true to the life. You can't escape them, even if you close your eyes and ears. When the cannons roar along the North Sea, the voice of Thor is heard upon the waters. His iron angels spread their wings on the blast. Thor is. He is no dead god. He is no false god. He is the true God, the God who gives life and freedom to the valiant and the brave, whomsoever they may be. Verily, verily, we live in great and marvelous times. Stupendous things are happening. The falsehoods of 2,000 years are being smashed to pieces. Evolution proceeds. The world moves, and the struggle for existence is not suppressed. Glory be to Thor, the god of heroes, the lord of combat, the awakener of men. This is what happens to the Lamb of God in real life. Crashed under the paw of a lion. You can pray until you're toothless and vote and whine and shout, but the laws of life are ruthless, and you shall find it out. To be the servant of another man, to obey his will, to be afraid of him, to altruistically give up to him all the profits of your intelligence and toil, what is that? Is it not to be a good Christian, a good brainless dumb animal? That is to say, the triple zero of nothingness. Respect your soul. Evolve your own personality in your own way. Let not the crushing superstitions of science or politics, or ecclesiasticism, or monarchy, or socialism blind you, or turn you aside from the true glories and grandeurs of the life immediate. Your own evolution is of more value to you than the collective conclusions of $50 million. To put your faith in political institutions is just as insane and unseemly as to put your faith in religious institutions. Why then do you do it? What is the matter with you? What is the difference between the man who fools you from the pulpit and the other man who fools you from the platform? Both of them seek to obtain power over you, to rule your mind, control your property interests, or labor power. Give the priest authority over you and he will skin you alive. Give the politician authority over you and he will skin you alive and dead.
And there is the philosophy of Terrible Tommy, whether you like it or not. That's it. And there's more, and we'll be putting it out. And we'll be back with you tomorrow. Yes, sirree, we will. In the meantime, might is right. Lone wolf rides. Chaos reigns.
I was a highwayman. Along the coach roads I did ride, with sword and pistol by my side. Many a young maid lost her baubles to my trade. Many a soldier shed his lifeblood on my blade. The master hung me in the spring of 25, but I am still alive.
I was a sailor, I was born upon the tide. With the sea I did abide. I sailed a schooner around the Horn of Mexico. I went aloft and furled the mainsail in a blow. And when the yards broke off, they said that I got killed. But I'm living still. I was a dam builder across a river deep and wide, where steel and water did collide. A place called Boulder on the Wild Colorado. I slipped and fell into the wet concrete below. They buried me in that great tomb that knows no sound, but I am still around. I'll always be around and around and around and around and around. I'll fly a starship across the universe divide. And when I reach the other side, I'll find a place to rest my spirit if I can. Perhaps I may become a highwayman again. Or I may simply be a single drop of rain. But I will remain. I'll be back again and again and again.